I didn't meet David till this morning, just after 10 o'clock. We'd emailed a couple of times in the week, but I really don't know anything about him. So good morning and welcome. Where have you come from today?
I think I can. Thank you.
All the way from Wimborne in Dorset, just north of Poole. So
that's not too far then, not a huge journey. So, and you've already done one service.
Indeed, yes.
And Jean's with you. Morning,
indeed,
Jean.
Yes. My
welcome.
Better half is here, and
And you're speaking this afternoon at 3:00. So, it's a nice restful day for them here in Shirley. 3 services and a lunch. That's excellent. And we, as a church, support Irosha. Is that how you pronounce it? Because I went on the website and people were saying it all different ways, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to make a fool of myself. All sorts of ways. How is it pronounced?
Irosha.
Irosha.
Yeah.
Irosha.
And you're wondering, how do they come up with that title as a name? Well, it's because the first project was in Portugal, and it's Portuguese for the rock. The rock, Jesus the rock, Peter the rock. So that's how it came to be called that.
That's excellent. That's good. That's the sort of thing we want to know. So we support Irosha as a church. It's one of our mission partners. And as I said earlier, it fits in with our values of loving God, loving one another and reaching the world. And we need to think about how we're going to care for our world. And how does Irosha help us with that?
Well, I think Irosha's sort of mission statement is to take that sort of biblical command to care for creation and to work that out for Christians. That's what it's all about. So that happens around the world. It started in Portugal. There's now 20 projects around the world, including in Uganda and Kenya, because I think you've got some links up with Uganda particularly.
Yeah.
And then in the UK, we're very much focused at encouraging Christians and churches to care for creation. That's our strapline, care for God's creation. So, you know, it's good to have that in the title today. And that's what we do. And how do we do that? Well, we do some practical stuff to sort of to model that in terms of a couple of reserves we run, one in urban West London, one in rural Essex, where we're kind of making exciting places where people can actually enjoy nature and see for themselves and engage people with that. So we do some practical stuff. Then we do a lot of work with churches. And particularly the thing we've developed in the last few years, and I've had the privilege of being part of that development team, is Eco Church that's taken over. And that's really, it's a scheme to try and help us as churches think about what we're doing in caring for creation, but it kind of gives you a route forward, and it's a sort of things that you could do as well. So not only where are we now, but it excites you forward as well. So that's something, I'll talk a bit more about that in the sermon and more at lunchtime. We also do have partners in action. So big Christian landowners, you sort of think, who on earth are they? Well, think things like conference centres, so Lee Abbey, Hillfield, Friary, people like that, who've got a lot of land. And we work with them to try and make that land actually nature-friendly so that it can be really enjoyed and people can get excited about that. And the final bit really is in terms of working with individuals and families. And we've had a scheme, Living Lightly, which you can see on the web. This year we'll have a new one, which really will help in that area. But that's pre-release information.
Oh, exciting. So what do you think the biggest challenge for Russia is going to be in 2018?
That's a hard question. I think possibly helping Christians to see where we are distinctive from just the average member of the public and their care for our world, which is probably at an all-time high. And I'll touch that in my sermon as
sure.
well.
Sure, I don't want to steal all your thunder. How can we pray for you?
For Russia, well, we're always looking to grow. There's some really good and exciting opportunities. So I think that would be good to pray for, you know, financial resources. And I know you all got given a leaflet if you wish to follow that up, and there's some forms outside where you can sign up, and you'll get a electronic newsletter once a month and a magazine. Jean edits the national magazine. Prayer. Sorry, I've gone off that point.
Right. No, there are things to pray for. We can pray for those.
We can pray for that. But let's pray that, I think, while the public mood is doing that, let's pray for the churches and Christians to get excited about creation as well. I think we've lost that. Probably our great-grandparents would be amazed that we've sort of drifted so far away from it. But partly that's because we've become very urban beings, I think.
Okay, well, let's pray for you now, and then I'm going to read the passage, and then you're going to talk to us, so we can stay here. Let's just pray for Arusha for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of having David and Jean with us today. Help us to listen and to think about the things that they're bringing for us. And we pray for their organisation. We pray that you will provide the finance and resource they need to do this work here in the UK and abroad. And that you would bless those projects that you have your hand on. And that Christians here in the UK would lead the environmental charge in a way that's different. As we care for our planet because of you. Amen.
And what I should also have said is thank you very much for the money that you do give as a church, which is absolutely great as partners. Thank you for that.
So the reading today can be found in Matthew 22, 34 to 40. On your phones or your tablets or in the Bibles. If you want an actual solid Bible in your hands, there's some at the back. People are bringing them round. This is the passage that Dave's chosen to speak to us. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Let me just pray before speaking. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I have a question for you to start then. I'm sorry to do this as a sort of show of hands, but how many of you watch the series Blue Planet? Great. Okay, that's good to know. Well, those of you who didn't, they'll no doubt be repeating it, or you can catch up on either. It really, I think, hope you would agree, it was absolutely amazing to see some of God's creation, some of those things that you've no idea about. Fish using tools, all sorts of exciting things. It was amazing. It was also very powerful to see the effect of things like the plastic in the oceans, to see the effect of warming. I'm just going to move a little bit nearer to the microphone, I think. Was that good news? Yeah. Thank you very much. That there are very, very substantial problems in the marine world that and those are evidenced by the issues like climate change and so on. And so we got to the very end where this shot is from, the last 30 seconds of the whole series, where David Attenborough really issues an impassioned, and it moves me even now, you know, statement. And I just want to read that because I think it speaks to the culture of our day, and I find a lot of people are hearing that. We are at a unique stage in our history. Never before have we had such an awareness of what we're doing to the planet. Never before have we had the power to do something about it. Surely we have a responsibility to care for our blue planet. The future of humanity, and indeed all life on Earth, now depends on us. I think he had a very profound effect on many of our friends, the community,
And we've had the environment of the place in the public awareness and certainly in the media awareness. It hasn't been for many years. We've had even the government eventually coming out with its environmental policy, long, long waited, and getting some time up front. We've had the air quality figures produced showing just how poor the air is in some of our urban communities and city centres. We've had Iceland saying they're going plastic-free and other supermarkets starting to compete on the sort of packaging and plastic-free aisles. We've had, you know, the coffee shop starting to say, yes, we're going to use recyclable, take your reusable. It's become quite a popular feature, much more than possibly for a decade. So I think the question for us, and we'll get to the scripture, is what's distinctive about our Christian care. And I want to look at that as to why we should care and how we should care. And so we go to those verses in Matthew, those two commandments that we've heard, probably heard many times, and it's sort of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Now, this could go in many different directions, and today I'm just focusing on the care for creation elements of that. And I think that first of all asks us the question about, if we're going to love God, let's understand what God's view of creation is. And a quick whirl through here, in Genesis 1, he created it, saw that it was good, like that. Genesis 2, which he tasked us with taking care of it. Good translation in the NIV is literally that, take care of. And then in Genesis 8, after the flood, God promises and commits to creation and promises never to destroy it. And then in Psalms, there could be lots of these places, but in Psalms, it's the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Just reminding us that actually the earth belongs to God, and he has lent it to us. It's not ours. So how does our love for God affect our caring for creation? And I think there's two things there. One is obedience, and the other what it compels us to do. So if we love God, then that second Genesis 2:15 of caring for it, we are, if we're going to be obedient, we need to look after his creation, and we need to work out what that means. And it compels us also to express and to communicate God's faithfulness to the whole of creation and what that might mean to us. So that's why, for God. What about loving our neighbours? Firstly, we've got to understand the sort of effect we might be having on our neighbours. And I know that many of you will understand that our carbon-rich lifestyles, which result in climate change, is something that is impacting many parts of the world, much less to us here, but to many other places. So we want to ask, who are our neighbours? And I want to talk about our global neighbours, and with a little bit of license, if you'll come with me, on our future neighbours, because that's important too. So in terms of our global neighbours, we here in Winchester Diocese, we have links with Myanmar and also with Uganda. And this church has obviously close links with Uganda, and I think some folk are going out even this week to Busoga Diocese and so on. And Uganda is a place where it has lurched from drought to floods, and it has experienced many severe weather events. Difficult to say it's just climate change, but we are contributing to that. Myanmar is amongst the most likely to suffer from natural disasters brought about or aggravated, more likely, by climate change and the consequent severe effects. And I think in terms of our global neighbours, also you support Andrew Leake out in Argentina and the work he's doing there to protect environment and protect against damage there. So you understand that those people are having a significant effect. And why, you might ask yourself, a tear fund and Christian Aid doing a big emphasis on caring for creation? because they recognise this is one of the most effective things that we can do to help those people. We can actually, but it's a big ask, it's a big lifestyle ask. And we have to ask ourselves, can we ignore the injustice that is suffered by the poor, who've done so little in terms of carbon footprint, who are suffering so much from the climate change effects? So that's some of our global neighbours. I want to think about our future neighbours, and that's really about future generations. And I just want you, this will be very easy for some, I want you to think of a young child. Now, I've just become a grandfather for the first time, and I can think of our granddaughter, who's just 4 months old. So someone under seven, you know, that's sort of quite small. You might have one even with you or outside. I want you to think of that, because when we think of future generations, it can sometimes just whistle over our heads if we don't attach that. So when we're talking about our future neighbours, I like this North American proverb, which is we don't inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children. Next weekend is the big garden birdwatch. If you happen to be at all interested in nature, let me encourage you. There's an example there of a couple with a smallish child. But to take that opportunity, if you haven't done so far, you can sign up online and so on. But take an hour out and watch the garden and excite your kids with what, or your grandkids or your friends or whatever they are, but excite them with a bit about nature and contribute to that survey, which is an invaluable way, this community science stuff that actually helps us to understand what's happening to our bird population. But it's a great opportunity to celebrate and get excited. And that's one of the things we need to do with those generations. We need to celebrate nature. We need to enjoy it together. In the UK, we have lost about 50% of the bird numbers, not the species, but bird numbers, since 1970. So that's even more since I was a child. But climate change, habitat destruction, species loss are pushing these things. And there's no doubt, you know, it's continuing to be a problem. We don't want to be handing on a silent world to our that young person that you're thinking of. And thinking of that young person, they will be in their 30s when this happens. This is Save the Children, who said in 2050, the impacts of climate change will be strongly felt. And that may seem far off for a distant future for politicians. And let's be realistic, for them, as a five-year parliament or whatever, it is. But for our children's future, it is our children's future. These small people, my granddaughter will be, hopefully, she's well and so on, in her early 30s. They have the right to have that protected. They have the, but I can also picture in that if she's anything like her mother, or her grandmother probably, she will be asking the question about why are we suffering like that? Why is this climate change? When did they discover about that? What did they do? And do we want to be part of the people who are helping to solve that and helping to be part of that or the problem? By that stage, we're predicted to have something like 100 million climate refugees. We need to think about those future generations. We owe a lot to them. As Barack Obama said a couple of years ago, we are the first generation to feel the impact of climate change and the last generation who can do something about it. So, apart from those reasons, if that wasn't enough, we need to speak to the issues of the day. Martin Luther, it is reputed, difficult to prove, that he said, if you preach the gospel in every aspect apart from the great issues of the day, you haven't preached the gospel at all. And that's a challenge to us, because sometimes climate change and things can be slightly controversial. I think it's much less so these days. But we need to speak up on that. It's also a fifth mark of mission. I know you studied that a year or two back, and Dan took you through that. And this is the fifth one, which is the tending to the earth, and along with the others. We we need a balance in that, that all of our mission is not just about telling and transforming and so on, but it's also about tending and caring for the earth. And in this diocese, we have bishops who are committed to that and who've committed the diocese through the diocesan synod with a policy that makes this something for all churches to do, not something that, you know, you can do or not do, but for everyone. So these two commandments spill out into a lot of reasons why we do it. And there's a great deal of support. So I want to move from there into how. How can we care as a church? Now, as a diocese, it has committed itself to becoming an eco-diocese. That means various things at the diocesan level about finance, buildings, and so on. That's fine. They're working on that, which is great. But for churches, it means eco-church. That as a diocese, what we need is, and I say we because I work closely with the guys in diocese, so, you know, it's feels very close to me. We need a number of churches to engage with them, and in fact, some to actually, many of those to get awards. So for St. James today, I would suggest it's great to know that you're already doing good work around the churchyard. You've got Green Angels doing litter stuff. You've got your Sporting Andrew League. That's great. Keep going. But also take on, and I challenge you to get into eco church. What is eco church, you might ask? So the very brief one, you come to lunch if you want to hear more about it, but I'll just give you the shorter version. At the core of it, it's an online questionnaire. Not which you can, you're not really, you're not expected you to read that, but it covers the, it's a questionnaire, but it's also in many ways an agenda. It's a tool to take you through over years, because it's saying, where are we now? Yes, we do this and this. Oh, we could be doing that. And that's what it's about. And it addresses these five areas, because it's important that we cover all things in the church. So worship and teaching is first. Do we do special Sundays? Do our hymns and songs and prayers do reflect creation? Do we preach about it? Do we teach in our youth and children's work? Do we do a small group study? Do we have tips and things in our newsletter or on our Facebook page or whatever? Are the leadership committed? In terms of church buildings, you know, how are we looking to reduce our energy consumption? We're looking at insulation and heating efficiency and things like that. Have we looked at water reduction? Have we got cycle racks? Things like that that are doing our management of church land. Do we encourage wildlife and plants? I believe there's some of that going on already. Do we designate special areas? Do we encourage others to use it? A number of things that we can do in that. And in community and global engagement, do we engage with our politicians? Our politicians need to hear that Christians are concerned about these things. Do we link with environmental groups? Do we organise walking? I have sort of men in boots I hear about. Do we pray for overseas projects? We do. Great. And in personal lifestyle, there are other things to do there, encouraging people to do that and encouraging recycling as a church. So encourage you to engage with that. It's not only a questionnaire, it's also a whole set of resources and things to think about, things to do, and more challenging things to do. Okay. As individuals then, how then shall we live? What impact are our lives going to have on the planet and our carbon footprint? And there's a whole sermon that you could have just on this, and I'm not going to go for the, you know, I'll have to keep it brief this morning. But up close and personal, it comes down to probably thinking about these four areas. The food we eat and the packaging that comes with it, that's really up in people's arena at the moment. Can we have plastic-free aisles and things like that and do away with all of those plastic bags? And the miles that that food is travelling, things like that. Perhaps we should be eating less meat. Things like that, addressing into the food area and then into the whole area of travelling. Can we fly less? Can we avoid that? Can we avoid getting the car out and cycle or walk sometimes? Ways that we can do that. And what about energy? Can we use green energy? Can we encourage green energy? Can we have our own solar panels? Can we take our televisions off standby and turn them off and get that extra bit of exercise as well? So, yeah, I always have to walk up. We have two, you have to turn it off. And then the whole question of waste, or really avoiding waste. So can we reuse stuff? Can we not buy it in the first place, as well as can we recycle and reuse and so on? So lots of areas in there that we can have impact in our own lives. What I'd encourage you to do is to do your own carbon footprint. It's kind of interesting to have a look how you compare with average UK person or something, and there's a number of them online. You can find them via either googling that or through the Russia site. Personally, Jean and I, we use Climate Stewards because it's actually an offsetting arrangement, but you can put in information about your own life and travel, and that shows you what your likely carbon footprint is. And then if, like us, you think, well, I'd like to offset that by growing trees in Ghana, which is what Climate Stewards do, a Christian organisation. That's quite a good way of combining, looking at your carbon footprint. But if you want to offset as well, that's great, but extra. You might say, okay, how do you get on? So I thought I ought to admit some things in my own personal experience, since this format doesn't really let you ask that question so much, does it? So we've only got into growing things and vegetables in the last few years, and that's in, being an active, retired, sort of full-time volunteer. Finding time to do that actually isn't easy, but it is rewarding. Jean is the head in that part of our department of life in vegetable growing. But it is a lot to be said for it. Get some seeds, perhaps distribute some, around the church in spring for people to grow and get excited about that. Travelling by air, we travel by air as rarely as we can, but we have family who live overseas, and sometimes you have to go, or they have to come, and sometimes you have to do it. So offset it, it's not easy, but one of those things, it's not easy to do. And then it comes to choice of car. Well, we bought a diesel, of course, because everyone bought a diesel, that's and then we're told now, of course, and you see the sort of figures on air quality and so on, that now diesels, well, with all of the NO2s and particulates and so on, it's not really the right thing to have, guys. And so it's not easy. Trying to care for creation and trying to do the right thing is not easy, would be my share with that. But it's a work in progress. We're all a work in progress in our care for creation and in our care for so much more of God's world. You might ask me, does what I do make a difference? When you see these big sort of planetary-wide things like David Attenborough, you do think, does it really make a difference what I do with this piece of rubbish that I get in the recycling, which I've got to take it out? Does it make a difference? And I'd say, well, a couple of things. One is, when you give £20 to Tear Fund, are you solving world poverty? No, or hunger? You're not, but you're making a contribution. Same way, I think, with our world in terms of caring for creation. And the second point I'd make is this, that if it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. And basically, we answer to God for this, our obedience to caring for creation. So whether the outcome is significant to the world, our job is to do the right thing. So finally, in my Pauline way of one slide on finally, only here, remember that caring for creation is the fifth mark of mission. If we're going to be missional, and it does provide real opportunities, if we talk about why we're doing it, some people will share really great opportunities that they get. Because they're saying, well, the reason I go on this work party, the reason I do that is really because it's God's world and I know it pleases him when I do this. Secondly, it's not an optional extra, which is okay for the committed eco-freaks. And you'll know who they are. I'm sure there are some. It's not that. you know, nor is caring for poverty that for that, nor is praying. But caring for creation is something that is part of our command. You know, our instructions from God is part of, should be, of our normal Christian discipleship. And finally, that here we're modelling the kingdom. We pray for it in the Lord's Prayer, that your kingdom come. Your kingdom also comes to creation and to that wide world. And we want to model that in the way that we behave. Let me pray to close. Close this sermon. Creator God, you made this amazing world. Lord, help us to care for it and to show our love for our global and future neighbours in the way that we live our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.